Welcome to the Helping Friendly Podcast. We have quick hits for you. You've been asking, and now you have it. So we're going to talk with Jake Beckman, who went to the first three nights of the tour, to two nights of Providence, one night at Nassau, of course. I'm sure everyone listening has already listened to the shows, but if you haven't, check out livefish.com. You can listen to them. A couple pieces of news here. So I think everyone probably knows, but there's a new Live Fish archival release, 723.99. And this is a really, really big show from Summer 99. So check that out. We'll put a link in there. Is it completely unrelated to After Midnight, that a show that we referenced in After Midnight was then released? Almost certainly a coincidence, but pretty cool nonetheless. Speaking of After Midnight, if you haven't heard it yet, please click on the link in the show notes, check it out, subscribe, give us a review, share it with your friends. We're excited to drop episode 3 this week, so catch up on episodes 1 and 2. And a couple events we want to tell you about. This Friday, if you're going to be in New York City, come hang out with us at New Blue Jam. Just happened. It's going to be Scott Metzger, Aaron Magner, Adam Chase, Jay White. They're going to be playing probably about 2 hours of pure improv, original improv. It's going to be pretty awesome. And then on December 30th, as a Fish after show, we will be with Riley Walker, Chris Forsyth, Garcia Peoples at Le Poisson Rouge. Tickets are on sale now. I'll put a link in the show notes. Check that out and make sure that if you're around New York that night, you want to come hang after the Fish show. And like I said, if you're there this Friday, December 6th, come hang out with us at New Blue. All right, we're going to hop into this quick hit review with Jake Beckman. Just want to take a quick minute and talk about Mint Mobile. Imagine a holiday season where you escape the long lines, crowded parking lots, pushy salespeople. Sounds pretty good, right? That's exactly how every day can be with Mint Mobile. So you can skip the lines, skip the hassle, shop with Mint Mobile, the online wireless provider that delivers savings directly to you. So for a limited time, Mint Mobile is offering the best deal in wireless, $15 a month for a phone plan. It's a holiday deal. It's only for a limited time. For $15 a month, you can get 12 gigabytes of 4G LTE data plus unlimited nationwide talk and text. That's 40% off the standard rate. You can use your own phone. You keep your phone number. You keep everything on your phone. Take advantage of this Mint Mobile deal before it's gone. Go to mintmobile.com/HFpod. It's mintmobile.com/HFpod. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month. All right, I am here with Jake Beckman. What's up, Jake?
Hey, RJ, how are you?
Doing well. Thanks for joining us. And for people who don't know, Jake is I think you're kind of prolific on the internet. You're on Twitter at Jake Beckman, but also the Fish Feed with a PH and other internet things.
Yeah, I did this thing called Save You a Click, which people may have heard of, but
yeah,
Fish is my real passion.
Well, we're here to talk about that, luckily. So
Yeah. You
saw the first three shows of the tour, two nights in Providence and last night at Nassau, and you were able to do all that with an almost newborn at home. So props to your wife, although I know you're going to be making up the parenting time this week. But how are you feeling after three nights?
Very grateful for my wife and the opportunity to go see Fish. I feel great. Fish is in rare form. I feel like they're in mid to late season form, and it's a quick tour, so I wasn't sure if they would need a couple of shows to warm up, but seems to me like they are just hitting it from the beginning. Night one, that first set I thought was unbelievable. First tube opener I think is maybe the best opener call I've ever seen. It looked like an audible. Trey was like talking to the band for the first couple of songs. Maybe they didn't have a set list. It really like the loose energy, the guts to open a tour with First Tube was just raucous. And then the whole first set was kind of funky. The final hurrah was funky. The steam was funky. I mean, obviously Bye Bye Flow was a huge bust out. The No Man's Gumbo, My Soul, I mean, Sand. I mean, it's just a funk set. So it's interesting. Like I the question was, are they going to nod to 98 and are they going to do their own thing? And I kind of feel like they did their own thing while winking at it. It wasn't like kind of that Wet Island tour funk, but it was kind of like 3.0 funk. and I loved it.
So let me ask you, just because from my perspective, listening back, and I think some people's perspectives following online, obviously it's very different if you're there. But it feels like the first set seemed a tiny bit maybe disjointed, or like they were kind of trying to find the groove. Like, I thought the sand, for me listening back, was the first time in the set where I really felt like it was like fully kind of, you know, they were fully locked in. But did it feel to you like they were kind of all along, and maybe it was just the vibe of being there where, like you said, kind of the loose energy?
I mean, look, I know the show got mixed reviews. I thought it was a strong opener, but an opener nonetheless. They didn't, you know, take anything out for a long time, which I think is, you know, representative of what you're saying, that they kind of were a little bit nervous. I think the longest jam was maybe 10 minutes, but that didn't come till later. I mean, it was hit. And I think the second set had like 12 songs in it or something stupid like that, if you count all the plasmas. I mean, I think the whole plasma rise thing is a perfect example, or, you know, to sum it up, like, very cool. Everyone goes nuts for that. It's kind of like, or what do we do now? Let's go back into plasma. Hooray.
And that plasma was a great jam. Really fun. And so that's a cool thing to build it around.
It's funny, just not to jump ahead, but night two obviously was a little gimmicky in the first set as well, but it was like it felt very, very different. Like, the plasma felt fun, but a little bit forced. Night two just had this like really, really laid back energy that was lacking in night one, I think. And I think that the second set, not having any big jams, and also Farmhouse in a big spot, Joy in a big spot. And, you know, it's just like, yeah, the energy was a little bit disjointed, but that said, everyone was super stoked to be there. They seemed happy to be there, having fun, getting warmed up. You know, it's like they say that they're a bag of nerves on first nights. So
so the plasma, that's interesting. Well, the plasma was really, I thought, pretty like the kind of the jam of the show, just because it was like it seemed a little bit out, like very out there, but like you said, they kept kind of going back and forth into it and playing some other songs. But so what was the vibe like on the second night going in? I mean, the having a two-night run is always interesting because you got people who are sort of settled in for a little while.
For sure. Well, one more point on night one is the encore was very well received, at least in my crew. Mm-hmm. Personally, I think a big long meat stick jam would have been for me a preferable encore. But I mean, Sleeve Driver Bug, I mean, everyone was really feeling that. It was very, you know, there was a lot of respect in the room and people were really digging that. But no, night two was different from getting in the venue. It was much more crowded. Saturday night show, mm-hmm. not the day after Thanksgiving. And I think I got to my seats, you know, like 2 minutes before they came on stage, which was nice. Oh, wow. And, you know, I think that the first three shows have all had a little bit of cast spot thrown in the right spots. And so they opened with Turtles. But really the punch was where everyone knew that it was like about to go down. I mean, they jammed the intro to Punch and it was like really good and jazzy and, yeah. And, like out there and not rushing through it. And it kind of felt to me like how they used to jam 2001. Mm-hmm. You know, like they'll take like a part that's not the part and just go deep on it. So I haven't listened back to that. You know, it could have been in the moment, but I mean, everyone was going nuts. And, you know, when they were jamming this random part of Punch, that's the best part of Punch in my opinion. So I was glad to see it jammed out.
It really was, they were taking their time with it for sure, which is cool.
Yeah, and like the llama was kind of, it wasn't a full slow llama, but it was a slower llama, and yeah. everyone was getting down to that. I mean, I think that's a crowd pleaser, at least in the room, on the internet, you know, who knows. And then, you know, again, like, you know, more funky songs, like, you know, me was always, as always, was just like, you know, fat bass and funk dance too. And the whole set was obviously punctuated by the Page THX intro, which yeah. I mean, we had as little idea as you guys did at home what was going on, and Trey taking it upon himself to you know, kind of play the band lead. We're gonna do an elbow now, and yeah. It just kind of felt like, to me, I like going to see Fish shows because like they're always a little quirky and surprising and different and unique. And to me, that whole thing, even though it was a little gimmicky with the intro, felt quirky, unique, funny, fishy. You know, like they did it so many times that it was like a joke by the end. And yeah. But anyway, I want that Page sound as my ringtone. I freaking love it.
Yeah, clearly having fun with it for sure.
Yeah, and the second set, I mean, that gin was enormous. Mm-hmm. That I listened back to about four times, and I stand by that. That was a really, really good Basto gin. Nobody even complained about the Alaska, which I think is indicative of how strong the show was. Buddy who's from Alaska, who's been chasing Alaska his whole career.
Oh, really?
So it was a good moment for him. Yeah.
And got out there in a way that Alaska typically doesn't, which is interesting.
And again, I think that you know, they were feeling loose, and there was, you know, when you go to Fish Show and there's an energy in the room, there was that energy in the room.
Yeah. So where are you with the what's the use being potentially overdone at this point, or is it
oh man, you're asking dangerous questions, RJ. I love what's the use. I do think they lean on it as a crutch often. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the plasma reprise, where they're like, we need a big moment, but we're all kind of tired, and what's the use? But the thing about the what's the use that I noticed in the moment, and it was unbelievable, is just how quiet the whole arena was. Like, mm-hmm. you know, and I've seen what's the use, you know, countless times, which, you know, to your point, I've seen it countless times. It's the kind of song that should be, you know, once in a blue moon, you know, because it's that special. And I've heard quiet rooms and respectful rooms, but everyone was hanging on every single note of what's the use. So overplayed, yeah. But overrated? No, I don't think so. and then, you know, the Piper was very strong. It was not a slow build. It was a, you know, slower build, but it was not a slow build. But you can't talk about Night 2 without talking about the Harry Hood. I think maybe the best Harry Hood I've ever seen. And again, I've seen a lot of Harry Hoods in my time. But it was like, you know, my buddy leaned over to me and said, Trey's doing all the kinds of things that we always want him to do. And it was true. You know, Trey was finding melodies, and the band was listening to each other, and the peak was enormous, and it, you know, got out there kind of outside the structure, just blistering, building, blissful, but also high energy. Just unbelievable Hood, in my opinion. And so to come out on Night 2 and play a huge gin, a huge Hood, jam out a random section of Punch, you know, to me, that's a great show. Also, Gajibu. Mm-hmm. I mean, Gajibu is one of my favorites. So, to me, it's a great show. And
long encore again.
Hope everyone agrees. Oh, yeah, the encore. Yeah, I can't believe we almost didn't talk about the encore. Encore is totally bananas, dude. and again, it looked like, you know, from night one, I was saying that, like, they called an audible. I think Trey said that they didn't really remember how to play it. And so, you know, it's like a weird big black furry, like they always are. But like all of a sudden Kong shows up, and it was like a full Kong, you know, stand up on your heels and call. It was a big Kong. Awesome. I think I'd seen Kong a couple times. You know, there was that 20 years later Kong, there was a Kong in Brooklyn and Kong on Jones Beach, but you know, it's always, I mean, Kong's another fishy favorite of mine. And then when they went into Wombat, I actually had this thought that maybe it was Wombat with a nod to Possum. Wombat was like the new Possum. Mm-hmm. So to go Wombat Possum, I thought was a nice little wink and nod too. And of course, Trey's not done without playing another Plasma.
Yeah. The Plasma was all throughout.
But last night at Nassau, man, I mean, I know I'm in the post show afterglow here, but I mean, that was one of the better Fish shows I've seen in a very, very, very long time.
So let's set the stage, because they've been, Fish hasn't played there in 16 years, almost to the day.
Right? Yeah. I was there the last time I played, actually. I was 12, I think, or 13 or something.
I was there also. That's a very cool older brother. For such a historic kind of venue in the lore of Fish, they've really only played there in 98, 99, 03, and then today. So, or yeah, last night. So were you, what was it? Well, first of all, sorry, the venue is totally different now, right? So that, we should talk about that.
I had last been to the venue maybe about 10 years ago, and I think they stopped doing shows there for a while. I heard a lot of mixed reviews about the venue. I thought it was really great. I mean, the room, it's like 10,000 person room. It's a great size for Fish. You can do that thing you used to be able to do at MSG, where you can walk around the interior of the bowl to get to your friends, and no one's stopping you from going to the sections. Staff was all friendly, in my experience. There was nobody looking to give a hard time, at least not where I was sitting. It was just a good time. Venue's nice. I mean, good concessions. decent bathrooms. I mean, in Rhode Island, by the way, at that arena, each men's room has like three or four urinals. And it's like kind of ridiculous to have a fish show where you're going three at a time. So just walking into a bathroom that had, you know, a stadium amount of places to go to the bathroom was like a nice step up, in my opinion. But it was nice. It's like nice and renovated. There's all that Islander stuff hanging from the rafters, which I guess is nostalgic at this point. They don't play there anymore. I mean, it was a hometown show for me. I live in the suburbs of New York, so it was easy for me to get to. I don't live on Long Island, but not so far. And easy to get home and sleep in my own bed, which is always nice. The venue itself, I think, is great. And I hope Fish is invited back. I hope we're invited back. And I would go see a show there anytime I had the opportunity.
Well, we should talk about the show. I did hear some reports of people getting like kicked out for smoking weed, which is like
really,
yeah, which is really awful and weird at this point in American history. But that's, you know, that's beside the point, sort of.
I
feel bad
about that. I did not observe anything like that. I can't speak for anyone else's experience, but
cool.
I saw people making questionable decisions right by event staff and security, and nobody gave anyone a hard time.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about the show for a couple minutes.
Yes, let's. Please. So
what do you think? Going in, opening up with that, with Ghost, is always an interesting call, and hopefully a good one.
I mean, the room went nuts, man. The Ghost Jam itself, I think, was pretty good. It's good for the first song of the night. They could have been playing anything else instead of Ghost, so I'm never gonna turn my nose up at a Ghost Jam. Set the tone. It's that kind of thing where like there was like this energy in the room. A lot of people sat out, at least, you know, my crew is all New York. A lot of people didn't go to Providence, at least my friends, and all my crew was at Nassau. And it felt like that was happening in crews around the arena. Like there were just like lots of friends, lots of energy. People were ready for like a big Never Miss a Sunday show. So to come out open with Ghost, I mean, people were very, very psyched. And Rift is one of my favorite, you know, non-jammy Fish songs. So I was very, very, very happy to see that. And I literally stood with my mouth agape while they played the Man of 70 yesterday, knowing full well it was coming, having seen them do the whole series with the Vidu Malkanu two other times, I think, one of which was on Long Island. I wonder what it is about Long Island where they pull out a Vidu Malkanu. It was just, you know, even having seen it and knowing what was coming, to me, that's a spiritual moment when they start playing Man of 70 yesterday. And, you know, being Jewish and thinking about being in shul and saying I'm being a volcano on Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur, but doing it at a Fish show with Mike and Trey and John and Paige is, that's spiritual to me. So I had a really good time with that.
That's cool. That's awesome. That sounds
like it. Wedge was very wedgy, which is great, but you know, heard Wedge before. Monster had a huge energy. Timber, I mean, I love Timber, and they really came at it aggressively, I thought. And we got cooled down, man. A little Velvet Underground, never hurt anyone. But the real cherry on top of the first set was the Tube Jam. They absolutely jammed out Tube.
Really amazing.
It was awesome. They jammed out Tube a couple times in recent memory that have really impressed me. And this was definitely one of them. It, you know, if you haven't heard the Tube from Nassau, do yourself a favor, pause what you're listening to right now, go listen to the Tube, and then come back and we can finish the conversation.
We'll play some right now.
Oh, good. And then zero at the end, you know, it's funny. Zero is always, I think, at the end of a set, either an apology or an exclamation point. I think there was a big double exclamation point. Yeah, it's either like, oh, we know this set was kind of weak, so here's zero, have fun. It wasn't like that. It was like, we just crushed. We just played this big two. We just like, you know, had a really big set. The room really ate it up. I'm sure they could feel the energy. And it was big zero, big zero. Nobody going to the bathroom. Everybody singing along, at least as far as I can see.
They open up the second set with Everything's Right, which is, I think it must have the highest batting average of any song at this point, given it's been played like 22, 23 times. And
that's it.
You know, at least half of them are like really great, really great jams.
I mean, I think that Everything's Right is the best jam vehicle of the past however many years. I mean, it's great. Almost every one that I hear is fantastic. And so, you know, last night was no exception. Not my favorite Everything's Right. But going into Disease, which was a brief Disease, it's always high energy. Cities was a true highlight for me. They played it kind of this weird, they played it at two speeds actually, like really slow and then a little bit more Talking Heads-y. You know, they can do whatever they want with the tempo of Cities as far as I'm concerned. I think it was also maybe the Fish anniversary of Cities last night, I think I read online. So if so, that's a good nod to Fish history. And more self-aware than I'd expect from them. The rest of the set was strong, but a little bit odd. The Ruby Waves is great. 20 years later, always gets spacey, and I love. The number line was greeted with mixed reviews. normally, I think everyone is rocking by the end of number line. I don't think everyone was rocking by the end of this number line. But
that's
then the
unfortunate.
Rival,
I think that's
sad. I mean, Trey deserved to play whatever he wanted last night, I thought. I mean, talking about it, the show, say it's a great show, but if you listen to the show, I mean, that's, to me, last night was the kind of show was why you go see Fish. And so Trey can play anything he wants if he wants to do that. you know, and then the encore with Roses to kick it off. Even though they didn't jam it, just a really, really nice and well-received move by the band as an homage to, you know, Island Tour of years past. It's just, it was a special moment for sure to do it in the Nassau Coliseum and to be able to be there personally was, well, I was really happy about that.
That's cool.
And then Slave is Slave to the Traffic Light, and we all went home. I love Slave to the Traffic Light, but you've heard Slave to the Traffic Light before.
Yeah. I mean, the Roses is, you know, Roses is like a once a year kind of thing right now. So to get that at all is cool. And like you said, is in a little homage. And, you know, an amazing tube from Island Tour kind of reflected in this tube. So that's kind of cool, whether that was intentional or not.
I kind of think when you go see Fish show, like, what are you really looking for? Right. You're looking for high energy. You're looking for inside jokes. You're looking for good playing. You're looking for a couple of really great jams. And I think Fish delivered personally.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I appreciate you taking the time, and I know that
absolutely
you got a lot going on, but able to see these first three shows and really, really cool. And I think what's your sort of takeaway just looking back at all three? Anything major?
My takeaway is that I wish it were Friday afternoon again, that I could do it all over. my takeaway is that again, quick tour, I think the question mark for me was how long would it take them to get warmed up? And I think that they are very warm. I think they got warm on the third set in, basically. Pittsburgh and Charleston are going to be really fun, and I really wish I were going. my main takeaway is that it's great to be a great time to be a Fish fan. And then we get to see them again in like what, 3 or 4 weeks at MSG. It's just that we're very, very lucky to be fans of this band.
Awesome. Well, thank you for taking the time, and thanks for sharing your perspective with us, Jake.
Thanks, RJ. Appreciate it.